Good evening, everyone. Warm welcome to all of you. Hope you all can hear me. And it's good to have you join us for our Bible study and prayer meeting. So today, we will continue on our series on the book of Psalms. And I do hope that this series has been helping you to learn more about prayer and praying from your heart and also having the confidence that God knows what's right inside your heart and what's really happening in every given situation. Therefore, He gives you the language to pray, very much like what the New Testament tells us, that the Spirit prays on our behalf. And here we see God Himself moving us to express our deepest concerns and worries and where we are spiritually before the Lord. So let's commit this time to God in prayer before we hear the preaching of the word. Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank You. We thank You for Your grace, for the way You are sustaining us, dear Lord. We continue to ask You, Lord Father, to be with us. We need You. We need Your strength. We need Your grace and Your goodness. We need Your help, dear Lord. So You lift us. You bear us, Lord, in this time. And we pray, Lord Father, that Your word will bring light. Your word will bring guidance and counsel, Lord, within us. We pray that it will transform us and open our eyes, Lord Father, to Your goodness, to Your presence, Lord, even in this time, in this place, dear God. We pray that You speak, Lord, for Your glory, for Your honor. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we will be doing Psalm chapter 12. The title of the sermon is The Righteous Have Vanished, and that's a pretty interesting title. So we will look at the Psalm. It's only 8 verses. So I think before I read the Psalm, I do want to tell you that there are some things that you have to look out for and what makes this Psalm unique. So first of all, this is a lament, and then it moves on to a psalm of confidence. So from a place of complaining to God about his situation, the language changes to a place where he professes his faith and his confidence that God is there. And in psalms like this, what we see happening here is somewhere along the prayer, God speaks, the psalmist encounters God, and it changes his perspective entirely. It lifts him up from where he is, and he brings light to his given situation. So that is a thing that we have to look out for. And the other interesting thing about the Psalms is it speaks about words, you know, the words of the evil and the wicked. So we live in a time where we don't experience wars, in our country, in our given situation. We don't experience much of the violence that David did in during the Bible times. But words is something up our territory. We have seen and heard the way words can be used, how boastful and destructive and perverse it can be. All right. So this will be helpful in that way. So let's look at the Psalm chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Okay, for the director of music, according to Sheminit, a Psalm of David. Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts. May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. Those who say, by our tongue we will prevail, our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? Because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in the crucible, like gold refined 7 times. Yes, Lord, you, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked, who freely strut about when what is vile is honored by the human race. Okay, so this, the psalmist straight goes into it. You know, he cries out to God and he says, help, okay? So there's no even place for help me, you know, it's a save, Lord, you know, it's a shout for help. For no one is faithful anymore, and those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. And I and what he feels is that he's surrounded by evil people, okay? And I think many of us have been in situations like that. Perhaps, you know, you've sat through, a meeting where everybody is just thinking about themselves, where, you know, the company or the leadership is so selfish and self-driven, you know, that there's no really any effort to protect the interests of the organization or of the people who work there. It's all about exploitation and getting what people want, you know. So it's all about politics, power, and so forth. And a lot of games are being played. And I know, I mean, I think some of you have spoken to me about those times where you would come out from the meeting pretty depressed, okay, pretty shaken up as what is to happening. And we find ourselves in that number. You know, and now, especially when you look at what is happening throughout the world is becoming more and more secular. And I think those of us who follow what's happening in America, what had happened to Europe is now happening to America. These are what you call post-Christian societies, and therefore, you know, whatever is Christian is being flushed out from the nation. Okay, the situation is more anti-Christian and so forth. And so everything changes and we are wondering what's happening. Perhaps even when you read about our political situation and the way the leadership is making decisions, then these questions rises. Okay, so who is going to be faithful and true, and who is going to be loyal? And here the psalmist says, these people have vanished. Okay, there's no one. It comes to that point where he's very frustrated. Perhaps I think one of the biblical stories that describes such a moment was when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. So what was interesting is after his victory, you know, when he challenged the prophets and God showed up in a majestic way and the people got excited and they executed all the prophets of Baal. But then news got to Queen Jezebel and she said Elijah must die. He got so depressed. He said, even after God doing such a spectacular thing, the nation is still, you know, not with God and haven't found the strength, you know, to turn away from worshiping idols, you know. So he's wondering, is there any more righteous people in the nation? Okay, and then he goes off and God meets him, right? So we all have come to that place. And I think even in Jesus also has prayed, you know, several times, you know, where he calls you a wicked and faithless generation. How long should I be with you? Okay, and that's how situations can be at times, all right? Okay, so we can understand the expression and how this language is used. And it's so important for us to see why the psalmist says such things, you know, and what is really going on in his mind when he says this. So he says, everyone lies, okay? They flatter with their lips and harbor deception in their hearts, okay? So that's the main thing. It's the words that are being used. It's the lies that are being propagated, okay? The psalmist is surrounded by people he cannot trust, okay? This is because of the way they use language, okay? Their words are used to propagate lies, flatter others to conceal their wicked intent. So he's alone. He's isolated. He's alone among people who are corrupted, you know, because they are using words to as propaganda. So they want to shape people's thoughts and get people to do their bidding, okay? And their words have power to destroy and hurt others, all right? Because, you know, they're making such decisions, they are twisting things in such a way, and people are getting hurt, okay, because of this. And so what he says, even the neighbor is not safe, all right? Okay, and the terrible thing is the use of flattery. So they would say something nice, you know. They would disguise their intent. They say they're actually doing things for good, okay? And that's what we have to ask ourselves, you know, what has happened to language, okay, to this society? And how has social media or media changed the way we think and speak? And this is a growing concern simply because now everyone can speak. You know, everyone has been given a megaphone due to social media. And you can see how things are in Twitter and how, the comments, the responses of Twitter has the power to shape the thinking of people. Okay, so the collective thinking is affected by a few individuals who are loud and who flatter certain parties and condemn certain parties. Okay, in a very toxic way. Okay, so all this is taking place. All right, and there's a lot of propaganda. Okay, in all of this, trying to shape the thinking of people and so forth. So the psalmist itself is very concerned, you know, and he's shaken by this climate, this kind of talk, this kind of things being cast around at this time. Okay, so he says it, you know, everyone lies to their neighbor, you know, and they flatter with their lips, you know, and harbor deception in their heart. Sorry. So he goes on, what I will do is to just show you how he describes the power of the wicked, you know, with their words, what they do. They lie, they flatter, they double talk, you know, boastful tongue, you know, pride over the power, you know, their words possess, you know, by our tongues we will prevail. They are arrogant of their independence and ability to determine their own destiny. Our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? Okay. They plunder and hurt the poor and needy, and they malign the poor and the needy. So this is the extent of the kind of character the psalmist describes these people, these proud and wicked people. Okay, so lying has always been a very potent weapon. You know, flattery has always been a way to hide things. All right, you know, and even double talk. Okay. And boastfulness, I think it's you know, a lot of what people say about themselves is to promote themselves, okay, you know, to talk about their achievements, you know, and who they are, all right? So here you find it's very interesting, the point number E, you know, pride over the power over their words possess, you know, by our tongues we will prevail. And it's no joke how much damage your tongue can do. Even the Apostle James writes about this, okay? You know, it can cause great fires, it can create a lot of problems. And people who can speak and twist things and lie and use information to their own advantage, you know, I can be very arrogant, because it's through the use of words people come into places of power, and the way words are used is so important these days. I mean, for example, even office politics, you know, a lot of people move up the ladder through flattery, okay? You know, that is one key thing that has been used over time, right? And the other characteristic is the arrogance, you know, of their independence, you know, their ability to determine their own destiny. Okay, our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? And I think this is a very important thing that we have to sit down and think about, because it's kind of amazing, you know, how much pride can seep in our heads when we start to believe, you know, that we can have made our own way to the top. You know, we have done this all. It's through our smartness, you know, our resources and our abilities that we have come to the place where we are, and we can take credit and we can glorify ourselves, you know, because of this ability. Okay, so the more the arrogant boast themselves and put themselves in the place of power, it's no surprise that, you know, they would exploit the poor and the needy, the people who are unable to defend themselves, the people who are humble, the people who are not doing the things they do, all right? Okay, so I've just put a quote from the dictionary, you know, poor, needy, expressed often as a class of persons with physical needs, of low status and little political power, okay, with an associative meaning of oppression and misery. Okay, so and again, this is familiar to us, right? So these people get exploited, and the proud, you know, climb up on expense of these people, okay. So the psalmist himself identifies himself with this class of people, you know, and he's looking to God and says, what's going to happen to this people? Because, you know, these guys are really powerful. They are holding places of power. They are growing in power, and they are inducting people of like them into places of power. And this is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. Okay. And he's crying out to the Lord, please come, you know, intervene. When will you help us get out of this situation? Okay, so he prays, you know, may the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. Okay, those who say by our tongues we will prevail, our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? Okay, so again, in the poetic language itself, in the structure, the words of the wicked reveal their true character. Okay, and they are deceitful, wicked, and arrogant. You know, they believe that nothing can stop them from having their way. With such confidence, they boast with arrogance that they have the power to do as they please. All right. So, I mean, let's kind of imagine, you know, when you see a very corrupt politician or very corrupt person, you know, and that person is there in a place of power, and he is so confident that he can get away with everything, you know, simply because he has all the power and all the influence and all the resources to do what he wants to do. Okay, so the psalmist acknowledges that he himself has no power to make changes here. On his own, he cannot silence them. You know, he calls out to Yahweh to silence them. He wants the Lord to show himself and put them in their place. And that is something we wish that would happen. Okay, all right. You know, we wish that God would just send lightning and thunder and execute his judgment and make his glory known in such a way that will put an end to this. And let's think about this. You know, of course, there is no denying that in the Bible and throughout history, there's times where God has shown himself and it has put things, you know, kept things in check, right? You know, and put boundaries for the wicked. But there are moments God has been silent, all right? And God has just carried his faithful by his grace and by his strength. Okay, but what's very interesting also, we have to find out that, you know, if God were to do a very, reveal himself and display himself in a very big way, let's say, you know, he strikes them down and or he does something like he did with Elijah, you know, he challenges the prophets of Baal and he puts them in their place. But what we do notice that this doesn't change the mind of people. Okay, you know, wickedness is wickedness. No huge sign like that can convince them because of the way they think. All right. And we see this especially in the story of Exodus. Israel saw God do so many miracles through Moses in Egypt, and yet Israel always held the Lord in suspicion because of the discomfort they felt in the desert. And they questioned God's motives, and they could not believe him because they wanted God to just give them what they wanted. Okay, and we see this same thing happening during the time of Jesus. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, saw all the good things that Jesus did, the wonderful miracles of healing people, providing for them and delivering them from demonic possession, and teaching people in humility, in authority, you know, but they could not accept him simply because he did not fulfill their expectations. You know, they wanted him to conform to their needs. So that is the struggle. What does God do? How does he intervene? How does he help the faithful in times like this? You know, and what is his word to us? And this is the story of the church. The church has always been the underdog, facing persecution and challenges. You know, even in our nation, you know, the church is small compared to the government and all the rules the government has, you know, concerning what we can do and what we cannot do. How does the church express its faith in times like this? You know, how do we live through? And of course, we've been talking about persecuted churches, and we've seen all of them been carried through by God's grace and by God's goodness, and they have not only survived, but they have flourished in such terms. So this is where we're going to see how the psalmist encounters God. Okay. All right. And God speaks to him. Okay. And that means he has an encounter with God. He he could have received a prophetic word, or God could have directly spoken to him. And here God says, because the poor are plundered and the needy grow, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined seven times. So in the midst of this dark place, you know, where he's complaining, you know, about his predicament, the situation, about how powerful the wicked are, you know, and how they have multiplied and how much influence they had, suddenly God speaks to him and said, I will now arise. Okay, I will show myself, you know, I will step into this situation. Okay, and it's quite interesting, you know, and this is what we have to keep in mind. When God speaks to us, you know, what he expresses to us has the power to lift us up, you know, to give us a proper perspective of what's happening and how things will happen, okay, and who's in control. So God, you know, will assure us that no matter how things are, God will set things right, you know, everything will come to its right end, okay, and that's how the Christian finds comfort in these times, because at the end, the Christian knows that there will be a day of judgment. Okay, you know, the word arise always speaks of that day, of that time, and Christ will come and he will divide the lamb and the goat, and all those who are evil will be held accountable for their wickedness. Okay, and it's very much like the story of the rich man and Lazarus, you know, where the rich man was so arrogant and, you know, couldn't care less. But when he died, you know, he was in this horrible place, okay, because of his cruelty towards Lazarus as well. Lazarus suffered, you know, his whole life, but when he died, God bestowed a blessing, and he was in paradise in the presence of Abraham. Okay, so that's how it works. All right, but then when God speaks to us, we connect with that reality. We come, you know, to that moment in a very powerful way. Okay, so the song changes, and I do want to spend some time, you know, just telling you that. I mean, this is happening again and again among the life of Christians, you know, when Christians want to do something, when God speaks, you know, he gives them the power, you know, the strength, you know, he discards the fear. His word comes as light. His word comes as strength to us to make us mindful that he is in control. And so, I mean, we've been talking about our church and it being 10 years, and I do remember, you know, a lot of the things that we did from the beginning, and how we did it is simply based on what God spoke to us. So even, of course, myself, I was most afraid, and I was trying to find a way to not do this, okay, because it was too risky, and I didn't know what was going to happen and how I'm going to start, and who is going to help me, and who is going to come, and where I'm going to get the resources. I wasn't even confident I could do it. And God says, you know, I will be with you, and I want you to do this. And that's all I had to listen, you know. Somehow those words, like, you know, grab my hand, in fact, grab my entire being, and push me into the direction God wanted me to go. And somehow it was like, it was natural for me to go that way. Okay, I've seen people who are going into troubled times and difficulty or facing sickness, but all God had to do is speak. I'm not quiet, I'm not silent, you know, I'm not blind to all that is happening at this moment. Okay, I am present. All right, and I'm with you, and I will protect the people. Okay, and then the psalmist changes, and suddenly he begins to celebrate the word of God. Okay, his lament is now a song of confidence. The word of the Lord is pure and flawless, not like the word of the wicked. Okay, he compares the word of God to purified silver and gold. This is again a comparison with the word of the wicked, which is seen and worthless. Okay, in contrast, God's word can be trusted because he is faithful and true, and his intentions are pure. The word of the Lord is far more valuable than anything the world offers. Okay, so let's look at this, all right? And so as we are studying the Psalms, this is a structure called the chiastic structure. This is a form of a structure in which much of the Bible, the Old Testament, and even the New Testament is written, okay? So this is where you see the first and the last point share a common theme, and then it moves to the second one, the green one, and then to the blue, and then the central point is in the center, okay? So it moves that. So what you can see in the structure, he begins to show us, you know, how he develops an understanding of what he's going through. And he tries to balance it off with what God is revealing and what is God is doing. So I'll come back to this and show how this applies, okay? So finally, the psalmist says, "You, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked." So you can see the mood changes. He says, "Now, God, you will do this." Okay. And then he says, "You protect us from the wicked who freely strut about when what is vile is honored by the human race." So the psalmist now proclaims confidence that even though the righteous have vanished and is surrounded by evil, the Lord will protect him. The Lord will uphold justice and safeguard the poor and needy. Okay, and it goes on, "The righteous are few because many live according to the ways of the world. The world honors that which is evil, and people would rather pursue the honor that comes from the world than the grace that comes from the Lord. They would rather stand by popular opinions, you know, seeking the approval of their peers than to stand out by speaking the truth." Okay, and so the safety that the psalmist longs for, he finds in God. Now, let's look at this. So the psalmist starts in verse 1. "Help, O Lord, for there is no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race." And then he ends and says, "Who freely strut about when what is vile is honored by the human race." So we begin to see this incredible balance. You know, the psalmist comes and realizes, you know, why things are such a way, because the bad is now called good. You know, evil is celebrated in the world. The world itself has changed. And this is what Jesus says, you know, the way the world honors things and the way the world system works is in contrary with God. And of course, you know, many people would rather take the wider path, you know, go that way and take the narrow path. You know, many would do as they please and want that kind of power and adulation and celebration, you know, rather than to live quiet lives in the presence of God. So he balances the idea, you know, he says they have disappeared, you know, and then he begins to give, you know, they've disappeared, but this is a disappearance they've done willingly, okay, you know, because they rather trade with the world rather than stand for God. And then to the green sector, he begins to speak about the character of the tongue, okay, the wicked, you know, and the way they use their words, you know, and how they boast and how arrogant they are. And this is the kind of character that the world praises, okay, you know. But then he contrasts that with who the Lord is, okay. "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. Okay, "You, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked." And this is incredible because what he's saying, you know, I mean, we live in a world and we are fed up of empty words, broken promises, and lying, exaggerations, and twisting of things and celebration of meaningless things. But the word of God is not like that. He's pure, you know, it comes from a heart that is pure and holy. It comes from an intent that is pure. And we can see the final word given to us is Jesus Christ. And Jesus, the word of Jesus Christ to us is grace and mercy and forgiveness. You know, the word of God gave himself at the cross so that we may die. And that is totally in contrast with the way the world speaks. Okay, the world exalts himself, the world builds the Tower of Babel, but Jesus Christ, you know, strips himself of all glory and honor and sacrifices himself and gives himself, you know, and that is who God is. And that, therefore, that word that proceeds from the mouth of God is so pure, you know, compared to the adulterated words that come from the world, okay? And that's what we don't want to see happen. And that's what distresses us. You know, even Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, and he compares himself to super apostles, you know, who preach for money, who twist their words, who play words, and in order to get political power. So the church is not free from all this. Okay, you know, this thing can corrupt any aspect of society, you know, families and churches and organizations and so forth, because that's how the world is. Okay, but in contrast, the word of God is so different. And then it comes to the blue point, you know, because the poor are plundered and the needy grow, but God says, I will protect them from those who malign them. Okay, and so it's as much as this is happening, God is working and he will protect his people. And God will say, I will now arise, says the Lord. And it speaks about the day that he will set all things right. And that's our hope. And that's where we find rest, okay, in glory. So I just want to quickly make you think about this points of reflection. You know, what can you do when you find yourself surrounded with people who only care about themselves? Okay. And then another question is, how do we use language? How do we use words? You know, how is social media or scrolling through the news headlines affected us? Okay. And I think, I mean, all this has a lot of effect in society. I would suggest you read about it. I mean, there was growing concerns, especially times like this, you know, when you just scroll through the news on your phone and you begin to see all negative news and all these things that are happening and how that shapes the way you see. And then the question comes, you know, are your beliefs and actions shaped by popular opinion, peer pressure, or the word of God? And are you giving enough time, you know, for meditating on the word of God in prayer? I mean, to come to the central point is, you know, words are powerful. The world knows how to use it. The world knows how to, you know, propagate its work and kind of get people to tune into its propaganda, you know. And we find whether entertainment, music, and news, and the media, it's all controlled mainly by the world. And, you know, we as a people of God should ask ourselves what we are listening to, what is shaping our thoughts and ideas. Okay. First of all, there's a warning here. It's very easy for us even to vanish, okay, to just blend in with the crowd. And if you're not careful of what's influencing the way we think, all right? But those who are needy, you know, what is important here is the people of God are the needy. We are the people who know that we can't do anything on our own. We truly need God. We cannot command our own destiny. You know, we're not in control. We don't hold on to power. We don't proclaim that we can build things and do things, but rather we look to God, the ultimate source of power and grace. We depend on him. You know, we thank him for everything, for our families, for the roof over our heads, for the food that we eat. And we're grateful to him for the life he has given us. So we are such people, all right? And our words is shaped by that idea. Okay, it's not shaped by pride and our achievements. So when we are such people, you know, the promises of God is a sure assurance to us, especially when you read the Beatitudes and so forth. You begin to know that faith in God is always rewarded, okay? When we put our hope in God, we begin to experience his grace, his provision, his guidance, and we truly acknowledge who is in control. But those who challenge that will eventually find out, will come to a place where they must face God and they will know what their faith will be like, you know, if they are in the wrong side of God. Okay, so what we need to do is, as much as we are living in a world where they are the majority and where they have the louder voices, we must be mindful that we have a source, you know, a God who speaks words that has shaped the whole universe, words of power, and words that have come in flesh and blood and lived among us, and that is Jesus Christ. And so we must be listening to the word of God in such times, you know, and we must believe strong enough that there, as we pray, as we look to God, God will speak to us, God will give us the right word that we need to hear, especially when we're feeling down and out. And God will lift us, you know, from a place of complaining and lamenting. We will move to a place where we profess, you know, our confidence, and our faith will be stirred, and we will see God in control, and we will find strength, you know, to stand with Him, you know, in grace, in truth, living the life He has called us to live. So let's move to the prayer items. The first four is deliverance and help when we find ourselves in a place which is hostile to God, strength to stand firm from the Lord, wisdom and discernment when we listen to others and then we use words. And, you know, we're willing to wait in the presence of God to hear His word for us. And the second part, Andrew will lead, just to let you know that Tabitha's mom, Sister Rachel, has been admitted in the hospital. I think she's due for surgery tomorrow morning. Everything seems good. They're just waiting for an open ICU room. So if anything goes wrong, they will be prepared. But let's continue to pray for this family. Okay. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank You for Your grace, for Your strength. We want to thank You for Your amazing word, dear Lord. We want to thank You that You know our situation. You know the challenges that set before us. You know what we face, dear God. And we know, Lord, how the words of people and the arrogance and the flattery and the boastfulness affects us, dear Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we do feel small. We feel that we are powerless, dear God. But dear Lord, we know we have You, dear God. And we pray, Lord Father, that we will not let this kind of feelings and thoughts lead us into a place of isolation, Lord, that we will come before You, that we will cry out for You to save us and to show us, Lord Father, that in the midst of all of this, You are saving Your people. You are protecting Your people. You are doing amazing things, Lord. And most of all, let us come to the cross to know Your salvation and Your goodness, Lord. So, Lord Father, I pray especially for all of us and many people, Lord, especially in this time, Lord, in their homes. We pray, Lord Father, that for their well-being, Lord Father, we pray, Lord, that You will teach them to guard their hearts, Lord Father, that they will not be worried, they will not be bogged down, Lord Father, by all the powers at work here, dear Lord, the worldly powers, that they will, Lord, know of You, Lord, Your presence and Your goodness in their life. And so, Lord, we just look to You to stir our hearts, Lord, to rise, to stand firm and to pray, Lord Father, to believe in You, Lord, to know of Your goodness, dear Lord. We pray that we will come to You, Lord Father, with faith, believing, Lord, that You are with us and You are able to lift us up, Lord, in this time of need. Dear God, we pray that the church will be prophetic, dear Lord, that the church will proclaim Your word prophetically, Lord Father, that Your church will also be prayerful, Lord, that in times like this, that we would proclaim words, Lord, through prophecy and prayer, Lord, and that we will proclaim Your promises, Lord, over our given situation, dear God, that we will profess Your word, that we will live Your word, Lord, Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit will stir these things in our hearts, that will awaken our soul, Lord, to Your goodness, to Your presence, to Your word, dear God. Lead us, Lord, Father. We look to You. We ask of You, Lord, to anoint us this very time, Lord. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise You. We want to thank You, dear Lord. We want to lift up Sister Rachel, Lord, into Your hands. We pray, Lord Father, that as she goes through the surgery, as she's concerned and worried about what will happen, that You will be a strength and a comfort, dear Lord, that You would hold her hand, that You would keep her, Lord, in Your love and Your grace, and also all the family members, dear Lord. You know, Lord, how difficult it is and how all this is happening at a time like this, dear Lord, Father. And so we look to You, Lord, for healing, for protection, and for favor. We truly want to thank You, dear Lord, that all has been going well, Lord, and You have provided all this, Lord, for Your glory and honor. And we just pray for Him to be with her, Lord, Father. Dear Lord, we also want to pray for those who have lost their jobs, and we also pray for our Sister Rita, that You continue to guide her and her family and protect her, dear Lord, Father, that You would open doors for her, that You would lead her, Lord, in Your faith, in Your grace and goodness, dear God. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in her and through her life, and we pray that you speak to her, that you raise her, Lord Father, to continue, Lord, to be that light, to shine, Lord, for your glory, and that through her life, Lord, many will come to know of your goodness, Lord Father. So bless her and keep her, dear God. Father, we pray, Lord, that we as your church, Lord, will develop a sense of clarity, Lord, as we give ourselves to your word, dear God. We know, Lord Father, there's language is being shaped, Lord Father, and it's shaped in such a way, Lord, that many of us are beginning to pursue and hold on to things that are not true, Lord Father, and it disconnects us from you, Lord. So we pray, Lord Father, that we will understand who we are, Lord Father, and we will understand the place of your word, dear God. You have said, Lord Father, that whoever listens to your word and practices it is like one who builds on the rock, dear Lord. And that's what we need, dear God. Today, Lord, we understand more and more what it feels like, Lord, to be on sinking sand, dear Lord Father. But also, this is an opportunity, Lord, for your people to understand what it means, Lord, to be strengthened by your word and to be on sure ground, dear Lord. So we pray, Father, that there would be a deep stirring, Lord, Father, that you would stir our faith, dear Lord, that we will truly, Lord, come to a place where we ask, Lord, of your place in our lives, the place of prayer, the place of being moved and guided by the Spirit, the place, Lord, of meditating and being planted by, Lord, by the rivers of life, dear Lord. We pray, Lord Father, that there will be a deep change, Lord, in all of our hearts, Lord. We truly repent, Lord Father, if we have allowed, Lord, darkness and challenges to overwhelm, Lord, us to a point where we cannot connect with you, Lord Father. As we see in the book of Psalms, Lord, they turn to you in desperation, they cry out to you. And yes, Lord, there's so many things that is happening in this world, Lord, that is beyond us, Lord, and we are unable to process or handle well, Lord. But you are still God, and you are the faithful God, and you are the God who gave yourself, Lord, at the cross. And so, Lord Father, give us the right words, the right that will shape the right thoughts, that will grow the right faith, Lord Father, that will build the right attitude in life, dear God. Father, let us take it, Lord, from a source that is pure, Lord, unadulterated, dear Lord. Let us be able to allow your word, Lord, to sieve our hearts, Lord, so all the impurities, Lord, will be removed, Lord, as we stand before you. That all the things, Lord, that makes our thoughts and our thinking toxic, Lord, be cleansed, Lord, Father, as we are dwelling in your word, dear God. Dear Lord, we know, Lord, Father, that man shall not live by bread alone. We know all these truths, Lord Father, but we do need help. We do need a deep stirring. We do need a revival, Lord Father. We need to come to you so we will not just be listening to the sound of our own voice or just the sound of this world, dear Lord. But rather, Lord, we'll be able to hear your voice and to know, Lord Father, that no matter what it is that we are facing, no matter what we are doing, Lord, we are your people called by your name to be your ambassadors, to live for your glory and to shine with your light, Lord Father. And that's what your word enables us to do, Lord. So speak to us, guide us and lead us, Lord Father. Deliver us, open our eyes to your goodness, to your kindness, dear Lord. We pray also, Lord, that you continue to shape this church, Lord, with your word. You continue to shape every ministry, Lord Father, that we will be diligent, Lord Father, in these things. Dear Lord, we know enough, Lord, to understand how much we do need you, Lord Father. So we pray that we will come before you, that we will cast these things, that no matter what the limitations the situation has put on us, we will believe, Lord Father, that you have worked for us, you have called us, you will show us, Lord, how to express our faith and to live our faith, Lord, in times like this. We pray that we will continue to rise as a church to be an instrument of healing, instrument to build lives, Lord, to encourage lives, Lord Father, to raise, Lord Father, leaders, Lord, to disciple, Lord, nations, Lord Father, for your glory and honor. So Lord, Father, we pray that we will come before you, that we will yearn for these things, that we will desire for these things. For this is the answer, Lord. This is the work that you have given us, Lord, in your name. Father, we also pray that we will be a prayerful church, dear Lord. Dear Lord, as much as we've spoken about it, we pray, Lord, and believe, Lord, Father, that you have called us to pray, called us to be in your presence, dear God, and we ask, Lord, that you would stir our faith, Lord, that we will make time, that we will press in, Lord, Father, that we will be tenacious in prayer, Lord, longing, Lord, for your glory, for your goodness, Lord, to come and lift us, Lord, and to save this world, Lord, Father, in a time like this. We want to thank you that we can come in your name, Lord Father. Continue to lead us and guide us in your love, Lord Father. We thank you for everything you're doing amongst us. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.